I'm Carolina, compulsive overeater. Oh, yeah. Normally I love talking about myself, but I have not been excited about this. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm already crying, so. I love coming to these meetings. I don't love being in this chair. But just being here and seeing everyone has reminded me of all the times that I needed a meeting, and especially a speaker meeting, and when someone else was doing the talking, how great that was. So I'm grateful to be in a position today where I don't feel like, you know, like I'm rolling in here exhausted and just like in great need. 'Cause that still happens all the time. So my story, I struggled to figure out where to start speaking because other people in my life have always framed my issues with respect to body image and weight since I was 2. So it feels like I could talk about anything and everything and it would be relevant. But I think that's one of the cool things about people who end up in this fellowship and feel like, and stay and whatever, and feel like there's something to be connected to here. It's not necessarily that we have the same experiences, but that we figured out how to cope in the same way. And then it failed us. And we had to figure out something else. I think when I was young, I was just a little bit bigger than other kids. And it, like, wasn't a big deal. And then pretty quickly, kind of a perfect storm of circumstances led to things getting outside of what other people considered normal. And I grew up in with a lot of privileges and in a community that had a really strict point of view about what healthy looked like. Oh man, what is relevant? My parents divorced when I was 4 or 5, and that wasn't, I remember at the time telling people that it seemed normal to me. It seemed sad, but it seemed like it made sense. Even then, I was like, y'all don't belong together. But I think it was how heartbroken my mom was and how unable she was to cope with that. And then that, my dad was basically, absent from my life after that, but not because of any reason anyone could ever explain. And so that felt hard. And I started to have, like obvious issues learning in a traditional school environment. So those things combined with being in this community where, like, if you didn't look exactly a certain way and have the money and have the clothes and have everything, I was ostracized and bullied and didn't have friends. And I wonder what I would think about it now with some perspective, but at the time I certainly felt alone. And they started sending me to counselors at the school who had this group for kids whose parents were divorced. And they told us that we were emotionally disturbed because our parents were divorced and gave us Oreos and shit like that. And so that felt great. And I was suddenly around adults who treated me with respect. and not my classmates who didn't understand why I was loud or emotional or whatever. And I pretty quickly, like, as my support network at home and at school fell apart, I started acting out in every way I could think of. I stole things from people's lockers, and I stole people's food, and I threw fits in class and, like, turned over desks and stuff and just did whatever I could and spent most of my time in the principal's office, I think, because I liked it there. And that was, like, you know, that was, like, age 5 through 10. And I remember, it was awful. It was horrible. People would, like, yell names at me on the way home on the street. And my mother was really present and really tried, but everything she did made it worse, it felt like. I was also showing interest in boys' games and boys' clothes and all these things, and she also has an eating disorder and, like, a fucked up relationship with food and alcohol and all these things, and can't be persuaded to admit that feelings exist. So, she started policing my experience to the nth degree, or my appearance, rather. And, tried to, like, buy me clothes that I would feel good in, that fit me, and so I was wearing clothes that were for kids that were in junior high and high school to elementary school, like, and, you know, to her credit, I look back at some of them now, and I was like, for the time, that was really, like, fashionable, and I was a fucking kid, and I looked really weird, and I felt weird. So by the time I transitioned to the next school, some good things had happened, and some people came into my life who realized I needed to be in a different type of schooling environment. But one of the things they decided I should do at, like, age 11 was join a, like, weight loss group, with a bunch of, like, 40-year-old adults. I mean, I don't know how old they were, but the person who sent me there was 40. There were certainly no other kids in there. And they prescribed us weight loss supplements, and we had to weigh in every week, and we had to eat, like, less than 500 calories a day. And it was just like, I had already had all of the, like, worst possible, messaging, both from my mother, from the school, and then from these people about how to eat. That just sort of deepened the obsession. And all the while, you know, people are taking me to doctors and counselors and things, and they're saying, if you wanted to, if you tried harder, if you could only tell us, like, what's wrong with you, we could fix it, and all these things. And I was just baffled and just felt, like, wrong and broken. So that worked for a minute, and then I got to high school and had no coping skills whatsoever and had friends for the first time in my life. And then life happened and circumstances happened, and it all kind of just unraveled. And my parents freaked out about me coming out. And so the sort of last people left in my life who seemed like authority figures became, moot in my mind. I was like, well, if you're wrong about this, then you're wrong about everything. So I started relying on my job outside of school in order to make connections and made friends in the gay neighborhood, and then started, experimenting with every drug and, like, just illegal, dangerous activity that I could get my hands on. And like, built my persona, like, mimed what I saw other people doing to try to figure out how to have friends and acceptance. And I mean, I think that's common, but it was compulsive for sure. And just like built my persona around, being willing to do the thing that nobody else is willing to do. Whether it was dangerous or, just for attention. And I wish that I had not done that and like gone to fucking school instead. But, that, you know, that was part of the path that led me to where I am. So I have to accept it. So I think beyond that, like what feels there, you know, there's so many things I could talk about, but that was the, what felt like the formative fucked up stuff for the most part. That just kept framing all my issues around my weight and not even my health, but my weight. And then certainly not my emotional life or, what skills I did or didn't have or what needs were or weren't being met. And kind of what started to happen after that is that I, looked to relationships to, as a guide on how to become a person, because I was finding that as I failed at them each time, I would learn from my mistakes, and that at least was something. And didn't have any sense of like what that meant about what I was doing to other people's lives in the process, and just like desperately wanted someone to make me feel whole. And I've heard many times in these rooms over the years, people talk about like having periods of self-control and being able to get their lives together. And that was kind of what things looked like for a long time. And that was like the diet mentality too. It was like turn over a new leaf. And so when people talk about actually, people with like addictions and compulsive overeaters have a lot of willpower. I think that's true because I was able to will myself, to lose lots of weight many times and to drastically alter my behaviors and choices many times. But then, invariably each time something would become too much and then it would all unravel. And so kind of on one of those upswings, I because I didn't listen to my parents, I collected mentors, and luckily that's, gay and queer community are kind of built for that. And, I had people that I trusted and respected, even if I didn't know what I needed to learn from them. And one of them, had gone to Naropa to go to, this is all happening in Dallas. One of them had come here to Boulder to get their master's in psych at Naropa. And she was like the first witch crystal hippie person that I ever met. She was amazing. And I didn't know what to do, but I knew that I could at least copy what she was doing like I had done with other people in the past, and that it would get me somewhere, and that I needed to get away from both the culture in Dallas, which is so superficial and centered around alcohol and everything else, and my mother, God bless her, I just needed to put a couple states between us. And that helped, but it wasn't like I got here and I got into another relationship and I, used this person to make me feel better. And that's like oversimplified, obviously, but, just again, put myself in the position of people relying on me and not ever, and just really lying about my ability to live up to them relying on me. And that sort of, the culmination of the end of that relationship and a couple other things in my life are what made me finally consider coming to OA. Two of my, like, that relationship ended. It was just intensely codependent and just traumatic and hard and just took way too long to break up. And I just had no clarity about whether or not it was right for me. It was just completely in the struggle and just lost in having no boundaries. And then some of my mentors died. And then I got fired from, my first, like, really good paying job. And, because of that, like, repair and falling apart cycle that I had been through so many times over the years, and because I have had support in different, from different sources, I was able to see that, like whatever was happening, even though I felt like it was completely out of control, I needed to try to deal with it myself and not like make the like lifeline phone call to someone to get me out of all of my problems. And, you know, the food behaviors through all of this were like, stealing from people, stealing from the grocery store, stealing money for food, eating out of the trash, eating dinner 2 and 3 times, eating in secret, like I once at my father's house at a holiday, because those were such heightened times, fell asleep with like a mouthful of Hershey's Kisses and they like hardened on my mouth and I woke up with it on my face and flipped out and wouldn't tell anyone what was wrong and didn't want them to just like shame me and be embarrassed because I knew they would have like nothing helpful to say or do about that. And then when the loss of the job and the relationship, once I was here and all those things happened, I was just like, completely numbed out from my body and just like ordering takeout for like 2 or 3 people after I had like been out in the world and acted like I was a normal person and just ate until I felt horrible. And always wished that I had the strength to be like anorexic or bulimic and decided that was like a great extra way to like be worthless was that I couldn't even do that. I had been aware of OA, but had, shame about it. I was like, why can't they call it something else? And no one knows what you're doing. Like people go to AA and they get like a pat on the back and they're like, good job. It's like not how people react. That's not how I thought people would react to this. So I finally got sad enough and felt hopeless, like truly fucking hopeless and suicidal for the first time in my life. And just like, willing to be like, well, this is a thing I haven't fucking tried. You know, I had done like the engine 2 diet and just all that shit. And it was like, so I went to, a meeting on New Year's Day of 2016 and I was like, they're going to talk about food, and they're going to be a bunch of sad fucking people, and they're going to be depressed, and they're going to just make each other sadder, like every other fat people group I've ever been to. And that was like how I saw myself and how I just, my whole perception of the world was judgment and criticism. And people were obviously not at all like my judgments, and people said, people were reading step one and they were like, you have controlled your life and the lives of others to the point where everything is broken and control, control, control. And, just all these things that I was shocked to hear and just kind of like sat there and sobbed and was like, okay, I'll be coming back. And I did the thing where people say go to 5 different meetings and then find your home meeting. And I came to this one on like a Tuesday, Thursday at 7 o'clock, and had, it was a big deal that I was like willing to get up at 6:30 to do something for myself, and heard people who had been in the program for 20 and 30 years, and heard people with all different kinds of life experiences, and people, and I, different kinds of relationships with a higher power that didn't have anything to do with like the patriarchal, like Christian structure that I had so many issues with. And, for a long time, just kept coming to meetings. And the, that like magical thing about how you, the, how you can't comment on what someone has said makes it really hard for people to shame each other. And so just being in the space, like over time, makes the hopelessness start to go away. And nobody was talking about losing weight. And I don't know how long it took before I actually started doing the steps, but I certainly called people and received calls and had coffee with people and went to a bunch of meetings. But now, I've been all the way through the steps and my life is unrecognizable to me. And I keep, when I like work the steps and, remember that, my default is to be an asshole, that, and to like, I don't know, it's just, it's crazy to me that, you know, this book that has this chapter to the wives could be relevant to me. You know what I mean? And like, change my fucking life. And makes these things happen where like I can focus out and be of service to people. And it's true. I have financial security for the first time in my life. I've been able to like go through all the backlog of bullshit and like deal with stuff. And then I lose weight when I'm like not even thinking about it. I've promised myself I would never think about it again. And then it happens. Like, it feels like another lifetime, like growing up in like 105 degree heat and like not being willing to wear a t-shirt. And like never being able to buy clothes at a store that would button, and just like last year I had to get rid of all my clothes, and everything I had in my closet like fit me. I just, I'm so glad that that happened as like a secondary thing that didn't fucking matter while this other important stuff was happening. Because I do feel like, again, oddly, miraculously, this program is like a map, and I'm like learning how to be. Like, I've noticed that I pause instead of reacting, and I've, not all the time, but, and that, suddenly I integrate lessons, and suddenly I'm a person who has things they like and things they don't like, because, you know, I would compulsively eat anything. I didn't even have, you know, I would like go to people's houses and be like, obviously they like these things. And they always have these things. They're fucking alien. I don't understand. Like, you have the same five things all the time. Like, I just didn't, I couldn't do routine because I was always just like numbed out and all over the place. And now I'm becoming, I have some things like that that are mine, and it feels great. I really have no idea what I just said, so I hope that that kind of made sense. Yeah, okay, I'm done. Thanks for listening.